He's always faithful. He doesn't leave you. I told a 17-year-old boy that this morning at about 2 o'clock. Thank you. I went to a singing Friday night in Pea Ridge, Alabama. Y'all think Red Level's in the middle of nowhere. Pea Ridge, Alabama. You go there for a few reasons. Macedonia Baptist Church, Brother Tim Henry. Bethel Baptist Church, Brother Sam Ross. And to get lost. That's it. That's all you go there for. Ain't nothing else out there. We went to Bethel Baptist Church, and I went to go hear a guy that used to sing tenor for Gold City when I was there. A good friend of mine. He's changed jobs. He's singing with the Kingsmen now. And I went there to encourage him. I think he's 9 concerts in. For any of y'all that don't know how that business works, 9 concerts in is terrifying. I'm trying to remember 20 songs a night and make sure you got all the parts right and holding legacies up and all that stuff. You know, you're trying to do a good job. So he was nervous, but he did a good job. But I went and I've preached at Bethel quite a bit. Brother Sam Ross is 30 years old and he's been at Bethel pastoring for about 7 years now. He's a young pastor. And I love Brother Sam. I told him if he ever got down this way, because he likes to go to Florida. Usually I got to preach because he'd go on vacation. That's kind of how that worked. So he loves to go to Florida and fish and all that kind of stuff. I told him if he ever made it down here, he'd come preach. I said, all you got to do is call me. And he's a lot like me. He's a little overweight and he's got a big beard and he's real loud. So I told him, he said, you fit right in. It'd be like I'm not even gone. I said, maybe when you come, I'll take a vacation. I told him he'd come preach for me. We were back there, and they were going through the concert, and they were singing different songs, you know, the classic Kingsmen stuff. And they got to this new one, and I debated whether I was going to read it. I typed them out last night because I don't know the song, and I've only heard it that one time. And I sometimes tell myself, you know, you got to get off songs. Every sermon you come up with has a song that's tied to it. Well, it's just me. I'm a music person. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, I don't apologize for it. It's just the way I am. Music is very important to me in my life, and I don't know how to get away from it. When I hear a song, it's just like, bam. Kind of speaks to me a little bit different. So they got up and they sang this song, and me and Brother Sam liked to have a conniption in the back of that church. We're the good pastor type people. We stand in the very back of the church because if you get excited, you can just get excited by yourself back there because everybody else looks like a, you know, they don't want to be there. So we were back there just having a good time. Shouting amen, crying. I think I bawled through half the song. I ain't afraid to cry. It's all right. And they started singing this song and it says, everybody's born into a broken world. Everybody's wearing Adam's chains. Everybody's searching for salvation. And it's only found in one name. And the desperate make their way to a lonely hill, and they come with every guilty stain. Where the ground runs like crimson as mercy falls like healing rain. It runs down the timber of a rugged tree, pours out like a river on you and me, till every sin is washed away in the cleansing flood. That's what the blood does. Does anybody here feel like a hopeless cause? Is anybody empty in your soul? Anybody tired, or anybody tried at all, but still looking for that one thing? Step on into the healing flow. It goes back into that chorus. It runs down the timber of a rugged tree pours out like a river on you and me, till every sin is washed away in the cleansing flood. That's what the blood does. And I told Brother Sam, I said, that was their last song before they took a break. And I said, if you can't do it, let me do it. Because I got something I could say right now. And for about 15 minutes, I got to just go off. And had myself a time for 15 minutes. Looked out at that crowd, and them people were shouting, praising God, crying all over that place. Why? Because they understand what the blood's for. Because they got it. And I sat back and I said, God, why would you let me have such a good time on Friday night like that? And I told you I was planning on preaching a specific sermon. I was going to preach on that centurion that's in Mark. And I was going to go that way, and God ain't allowed me to do it as much as I'd like to. It's a good sermon. I can say that because you ain't heard it yet. But God ain't allowing me to do that because, you see, last night I realized why that song was so important to me. I got this text message. My dad, he shot my mom in the head with a Glock and tried to unload the clip. But his gun got jammed after the second bullet fired at him. That's a 17-year-old boy. That's a 17-year-old kid whose mom and dad are both drug addicts. They went through a really bad divorce about a year ago, and they were trying to work some stuff out, trying to get some money stuff situated. And she was sitting in his car, and he pulled a gun out on her and shot her through the face. Thank God she's still alive. He didn't hit anything vital. He intended to. But God showed some mercy right there and said, you know what, I'm not going to let that second one go off. I'm not going to let the third one go off. I'm not going to let the fourth one go off. You're not going to get your way on this one. That 17-year-old boy called me. He said, what am I supposed to do with this? Now, I'd love to tell you I have all the answers, but boy, I ain't got those kind of answers. I never experienced anything like that. I've heard about it, but I never lived through it. I told him, I said, you know, he never leaves you and he never forsakes you, right? See, here's the problem with that young boy, is he's never accepted him. Right now, that young boy is dying and he's going to hell, okay? That's the problem. That's the problem with the dad, that's the problem with the mom, and that's the problem with the situation that he's found himself in now. He's rejected him multiple times. Why? Because I've asked him. I said, the only hope you're going to have is when you give your life to Jesus Christ, the one who died for you, the one who shed his blood for you. And I told him a month ago, I'm not sure what's going to happen to get your attention, but something will happen. And it'll be something that you can't handle. And I get that text message. He can't handle that. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, if you don't give this to God, if you don't get that right in your life right now, you're going to become a very bitter person. And you're not going to be able to help anybody in any of the situation that you're going through. You're going to hoard the stuff up in your body, and you're going to try to hold it there, and you're going to hold grudges against people and against people that did things. And here's the thing. They already did them, okay? Do I think it's right? No. It is not right. Do I think that dad deserves to be able to be told what the gospel is? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Do I think he ought to be in jail where he's at right now? Yes, I do. I think there's consequences for your actions, okay? That doesn't mean he ought to die and go to hell for it, though. You better get your priorities right. If you think any differently than that, then I'm telling you right now, you need to come down to the altar and get it settled with God. You need to get that settled with God. Get your life right. But this 17-year-old boy is dealing with something so just terrible. It'll destroy his life if he doesn't turn to God. And I've been able to witness to him all night. And I sent him this scripture. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He's still God. He's still on the throne. He's still in control of every situation that happens. Even this one. But without God, he'll never make it. Without God in your life, you'll never make it. You will never make it. You may deal with stuff that I have no idea what you're going through. Your marriage may be falling apart, finances falling apart, whatever it is. Health. And you think you can handle it on your own. You think you can just keep it to yourself. You think you can control it. And you've decided God's not the answer. I'm here to tell you right now this morning, God is always the answer. That's what the blood's for. That's why he died on that cruel Roman cross. And I thought about that song so many times, and I sit there and I can picture it in my mind how he would go to a cruel Roman cross. And that blood's just pouring down, and how he willingly gave his life for me. It wasn't something somebody forced him to. It wasn't somebody that beat him and said, you have to stay on the cross. He just said, I'll do it for you. I'll willingly lay down my life for you. But some of you don't get it. And then you wonder why preachers get up and they get so adamant about it. And how you can sit back in the back of a singing and hear a song like that and cry your eyeballs out and raise your hand and say, amen, and get all excited about it. And you wonder how they do that. It's because I know what he did for me. And you say, well, you're just ridiculous. You're just so animated and all these kind of things people throw out there. No, I just want you to know what the truth is. I just want you to know. I want you to know that you know that you know when you walk out of that door that you can have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and he can change your life, because when a bad situation comes, you'll know exactly who to turn to. And he'll comfort you like you've never been comforted before. He'll hold you tighter than you've ever been held. You say, I don't know how that, I don't know. I'm telling you right now, I've been there. I've lived it. I've lived it. I've experienced it. Why does he do it? Because he loves you that much. I got up there after that guy got done singing. I turned to, take a Bible, turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Anybody who goes to church here knows that's my favorite chapter, right? We're going to take it off that wall right there. We're going to put it straight in the middle of this church one day. Just so everybody got to see it when they get here. Romans chapter 5. I told Sam, I said, if you'll just let me go for about 15 minutes, I'll wear it out just right out of Romans chapter 5 right here. He got done singing that song, and I got out of that pew. I told Brandon, their sound guy, their manager, I said, you're going to have to give me some room because I'm going to have to get out here and walk this aisle just a minute. He said, I do this the same everywhere. I don't know if y'all know that or not. I am not any different in any place. Ask Brother Randy. He's come and heard me sing. It don't make any difference. I do it the same everywhere. It's all the same. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Through the shedding blood, you're saved. You see, there always had to be shed blood. There always had to be a sacrifice. We talk a lot about dispensations and different time periods in Sunday school, and I'm here to tell you right now, this dispensation, guess what happened? God had to be that sacrifice. God had to go shed that blood. Why? Because there had to be a full atonement for sin, and he did it so you could have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why? Because you did not deserve it at all. You didn't deserve it. How do I know you didn't deserve it? Let me show you. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I'm not just a scholarly person. I'm not that smart, okay? I'm not a teacher like some of y'all. But I did get this when I was in school. All means what? All. I'm smart enough to get that one. Guess what that means? You're not exempt. We're all sinners, right? And what do you deserve because you are a sinner? You deserve hell. You deserve hell itself. You say, how do you know that? And why would you say that? Because if you go over to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is what? It's death. That's hell. You deserve death. Why? Because you didn't have that blood of Jesus Christ put on your life yet. You deserved hell. You deserved it. That's what we should have gotten. But the verse don't stop there. Amen. It gets gooder and gooder and gooder. And yes, I learned that at Victory Baptist Church in Millbrook. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Him, you have eternal life. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I don't care what you think you've done. I don't care how far you think you've gone. I don't care how bad you think you are. When you get down at that altar one day, or a bed, or wherever it is you get down, and you say, hey God, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, and you get that all over you, and you say, hey God, I can't do this on my own. You've got to do it, God. And I'm giving my life to you. And you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. It didn't say confess all your sins you made. It said confess Him as Lord. Him. It ain't got nothing to do with you. He already died for all your sins. Every single one of them. Don't let somebody make that more confusing than what it is. It's good just the way that it is in the Bible. Confess Him, Lord. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God hath raised Him from the dead. Guess what? Thou shalt be saved. Amen? Thou shalt be saved. Ain't no condition to it. It means it's going to happen instantly. In Ephesians 4:30, you're going to be sealed to the day of redemption. Amen to that too. Jesus Christ went to that cruel Roman cross and died for every single one of you sitting in these pews. He died for me. He gave His life for me when I didn't deserve it. He gave His life for that 17-year-old boy who's dealing with something that I can't even imagine. My boss made me so mad. He said, we got to help him. We got to encourage him. I said, yeah, we need to make sure that his soul's saved. Well, I don't know if we should go that route. You lost your mind. Yeah, but he's dealing with a lot right now. You've lost your mind. The only thing that's going to give him peace is Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to help this situation is Jesus Christ himself getting all over that boy and just changing his life. You see, we can tiptoe through things and you can sit there and say, well, he's dealing with this and he's dealing with that. But without God in your life, it ain't going to fix anything. You've got to have God in your life. You've got to have accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior at some point in time. So this morning, I want you to think within yourself, is there ever been a moment where you sit back and go, hey, I accepted him as my personal Lord and Savior, whether it be at an altar, your home, car, I don't care where it was, what it was. I just want to know, is there a moment that you can remember it? Because it's very important that you remember that day. And I've told you before, it ain't about ages. It ain't about dates. It's about the moment. I remember that moment so vividly. I remember the scriptures. I remember somebody willing to actually show me in the Word of God how that I could know that I have eternal life. What about you? Do you have it? Can you see it? Because if you can't, you need to get it. Time is dwindling down, okay? It's coming to an end. It's fixing to wrap up. And just like we talked about in Sunday school, God always keeps his word. If you reject him, guess what? He'll reject you. And you'll die. And you'll spend an eternity in hell. Because you chose not to accept him. It's a gift. It's unto everybody in this room. It's unto everybody. But it'll only be upon you if you believe. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's salvation. It's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. You ain't got to add nothing to it. You ain't got to do anything else for it. All you got to do is say, hey, I believe it. I believe that he died for me. I believe that he shed his blood for me. That's what it was shed for. Was for you to have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what it was done for. Don't let it pass you by. Maybe you've been putting it off. Maybe you don't want to look bad in front of somebody. I don't know. I don't know why God sits there and says, hey, do this sometimes. And I sit there and go, well, they've already heard salvation message after salvation message. I'm sure they want to hear something different. I just feel like God keeps putting it on my heart for some reason. I just preach whatever he lays on my heart, folks. I don't know how to do it any other way. I don't know your eternal state, okay? I can look at a lot of you and go, man, they look like a good Christian, but that may be a lot of head knowledge and not a lot of heart knowledge. that may be a whole lot of cover up, and I'm here to tell you right now, I want you to get out of that cover up. I want you to be able to really know what he did for you, because that will change your life. It doesn't matter how old you are, and it doesn't matter how young you are. He died for all. We're all sinners deserving of hell, and he died for every single one of us. But he's knocking on that door, and he's saying, "Let me in, please. Please let me in. Just step out. If you'll just step out, guess what? I'll come just push you to the front." That's how he works. You just have to be willing to say, "Okay, God." You won't imagine how easy it is once you finally just commit to God. When you just say, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to give my life to him." Guess what? Things just change for you. When you get up out of that pew for the very first time and you say, "You know what, God, I'm going to just let you have it now." He'll just sit there and just, "There you go. There you go. There you go. Let me help you. Let me walk you up to that front." And the Word of God right there will be presented to you in this church, I can guarantee you that. I'll open it up and I can show you how that you know that you know that you're saved. Ain't a bunch of fancy stuff I come up with. It's just straight out of that book. And I tell you, because I love you that much, I care for you that much, I don't want to see anyone die and go to hell. This morning, Miss Barb, why don't you come play? And you can just start playing when you get there. I'll talk over it for a minute. I want everybody to stand to their feet. We're going to do something just a little bit differently than what I normally do.